Good to have you folks with us today. If you would join me in the book of Acts, chapter 5. In last week's study of this path that the Apostle Peter is on, from the time that the Lord called him next to the seashore to the time that he sits down and pins, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter. We're in this book of Acts. The Apostle Peter and John were once again pulled in before the religious leaders of that day for doing no more than preaching the truths of God's Word. Aren't you thankful we live in this free country? I know there's a lot of problems, folks. I know we see the degeneration of the morality of what we used to know in this country, but folks, it's never been any different any other time in the world. False religions were as frivolous and just as many of them then in the day that the Lord Jesus walked this earth as there is right now. The nature of man is the same then as it is right now. Yet we have this freedom in this country to worship our Lord without persecution. Now, who knows how much longer we have for that? And we should be thankful. I am. Oh, how thankful I am that you and I aren't cowering in the closet over in the residence next door, hoping nobody comes by and sees us. You know, I thought about that for a little bit as we were opening with, worshiping with open doors here during the pandemic at the first of it when they were shutting down all the churches. I thought about that. What if somebody drove by and they saw cars in our parking lot? What would I do if somebody came by and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, you can't be doing this"? Go to the county and tell the county. We have a great blessing right here in this country. Amen. And these are blessings that God has given us. Look with me, if you would, at verses 12 through 21 again of chapter 5. And we're just going to briefly read through some of the scriptures we've already read to get us to where we will be in verse 42. Chapter 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with the unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." A picture of how our Lord heals his people. Remember Friday night Bible study, those of you who were able to be here with us. The Lord healed the mother-in-law of Peter. And immediately, within minutes, she was serving those that were there in the house, serving the Lord. She had a bad fever. And Don brought out how, you know, and you and I both know this, when we have a bad fever, we don't get over it within just a few minutes. It takes a couple days to get your power and strength back. You've got to eat some nourishment, get your body back going again. It was a picture of our Lord and Savior. He doesn't leave anything undone. This is how we can declare that salvation is of the Lord. For he has it all covered and he gets it all done perfectly. Nothing is left for us to do. We rest in him. As it says in verse 16, "And they were healed every one," at the end there. Then verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." They were filled with jealousy. The same thing as in Cain. The same evilness that was in Cain, the jealousy of how dare this man, these two men, come along and take our congregation away from us. How dare them threaten us, threaten our power. Verse 18, and these ones, these Sadducees and the high priest, they laid their hands on the apostles and they put them in a common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said this. He said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. Now we'll go ahead and quit right there. Gospel, the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace is an offense to all works religions. Do we not read in 1 Peter 2:8 that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed? The gospel of unmerited favor, grace, takes away the power of man and it puts the power where it belongs. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It belongs to God Almighty. In Matthew 28:18, we read it this way, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I am asked this question. I mean, I've been in a discussion lately with a friend of mine that I played golf with. I love him dearly. He's a good man. But he doesn't know the Lord. And he asks me. I took him to Ephesians 1 and Romans 9 and 10, where the Lord clearly declares the election of God's people. The fact that we were chosen in Christ before the world was. And he says, well, if that's the case, if we're all predetermined to be somewhere and go a certain path, then what do we need you for, John? What do we need a man to preach for if it's already predetermined that you'll be saved? And I quoted to him, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I don't know if that's where the discussion has come to a halt with me and him so far. He's traveling and I won't play golf with him again until next Wednesday. So I can't wait to meet with him again Wednesday and see where we will go with that. I'm sharing this with you because, and Mike, you know this as well as anybody. Isn't it a great joy in the heart to declare our Lord before others when they allow us? I know that we're not all preachers. I preach to a group of people who the Lord brings to this little building, but I'm just like you out there in the world. I had a family full of a group full of family yesterday here. We had a gender revealing party for my granddaughter. I'm going to be a great grandfather to a baby girl and a baby boy. Not two in the same womb, but both my grandchildren are about to have children of their own. My grandson is also, his girlfriend is pregnant. And they already know what their child is going to be. It's going to be a boy, so. But I had the thing I was trying to get to is I had this big group of family there. I don't believe any one of them know the Lord, including my son and my grandchildren. I did not have an opportunity that the Lord opened for me to talk about who my Lord is. I thought I did for a second. Boy, I perked right up. And I was ready to start talking about it, but then they went off about how their religious beliefs were, and that kind of finished the conversation. But do we not take great joy when the Lord does give us an opportunity to talk about our Savior? Unfortunately, our Savior is an offense to most. Is it not our love for Him who first loved us to proclaim Him as He is, Lord of all, King of kings, absolute ruler over all that is? We proclaim Him Christ Jesus the Lord. We proclaim Him God in the flesh. He rules the wicked as well as all else. Wicked hands crucified our Lord, but it was by His determinate counsel He laid down His own life that He might take it up again. These wicked men were not allowed to do more than to beat these apostles. Look at with me, if you would, at verse 40 and 41. And to him, speaking of this man who stood up to the council in defense of these men, you'll remember that this Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people in verse 34 and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And then he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men." And then he went about bringing about how there have been many others who have come up and raised up among the people, and they are all gone. Take heed about what you're going to do to these men, because if they're just like the rest, they'll be gone too. But if they're not gone, then they might be of the Lord. And who are we to fight against the Lord? And then in verse 40 it says, to him they agreed, speaking of the chief priests and stuff. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. The people of God, the very ones who were just beaten and terrorized for preaching Christ and Him crucified, went away rejoicing. Rejoicing in their trial for Christ's sake. You know, I'm convinced, and this is going to be a personal opinion, I'm convinced that the very reason our sins are ever before us is so that we can see the weakness of this flesh and the magnitude of our God's grace for us. We are reminded over and over again of how weak this flesh is and how much we need Him. I need Him every moment of every day. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I can forget. I'm a stiff-necked person. I can neglect and forget the wonders of my Lord's grace to me in a moment. So quickly, I'm ashamed to say so. To be counted worthy that the Lord would do that to us, allow that for us. Do you get the meaning of what I'm saying here? He allows us to be in our weakness that we might see His strength. That's the love of God for us. That we would see His mercy as deep as it is. That's God's love for us. Does that not warm your hearts? To be counted worthy to suffer for His name. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the Lord's grace for me. Now, may our Lord be gracious to us as we consider a couple of points found in this last verse of chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not in every... And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Notice it didn't say to teach and preach Calvinism. Notice that it didn't say to teach and to preach good works. Notice it didn't say to teach and to preach eschatology. No, it says to teach and preach Jesus Christ. As Paul put it, I wish to know nothing of you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What else would be fit of our time than to go on proclaiming His sovereignty, proclaiming Him God in the flesh, proclaiming Him Lord of all, proclaiming Him the sinner's substitute, proclaiming Him risen, seated on His throne of glory right now, making intercession for His people. Is that not what we do now? Do we not walk daily in reverence of who He is in our lives? Worshiping Him by joining ourselves with other saints as often as possible, meeting with sinners saved by His grace from house to house. This Zoom thing, I got to tell you folks, I am just ecstatic about it. I've had the ability to sit with the group in Marysville on Thursday night without having to drive for 3 hours on Thursday night to go down there and come back. Hour and a half there, an hour and a half back. And it is a great joy to me to be able to join that group and talk to them, not just watch them on a video on the big screen, but be able to talk to them and say, "Hi, Lee. Hi, whoever." See their smiling face. Kathy and I have put up another small computer in the breezeway, in the foyer. Not breezeway. Foyer. I don't know why I said breezeway. But to give us an ability, to give you an ability, to give those who do join us the ability to say hello and to see their face and to hear their voice. Joining them from house to house. Don and Shirley Jukic, Jeffrey wrote me a note, and I'm going to share this with the congregation, but I'll do it twice, so you can't sleep through the next, just because you heard it first time, Bill. Jeffrey wrote this. They've been joining us for the last couple of weeks. "Dear brother, so happy we can see and take part in the church services. We all miss being there with you. Please greet the group, Jeffrey, Don, and Shirley." Isn't that wonderful? They're ecstatic. My brother and his wife, Shirley, and Jacob and Elizabeth are joining us for services today from Colorado. They normally go and listen to a video of somebody, watch a video or whatever. They're going to join us live. They're going to sing with us. They know what songs we're going to sing. They're going to worship with us. Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
It's ecstatic. That's what God's people do. That's what we're doing today. We're gathering together in the name of our Savior, the one we have come to love because He first loved us. And we're worshiping and crying out, proclaiming Him as God Almighty, and He rules over our lives, and we love it. Do we not go about our lives eager to have the door open for each of us to teach one another about Him, as I mentioned a moment ago? What a joy it is to speak of my Savior with others. Is it not also with you? We are here taught that our one business in this world, our one responsibility in this world, is to preach the gospel of Christ. The apostles were given an angelic commission back in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 5, Acts. "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And what did they do? They were obedient unto God. Why? Because they loved the Lord's word, just as you and I do. I know we're not perfect in our obedience, but in my spirit I am. Because it's my Lord who dwells in my spirit. It is His Spirit that dwelleth in me. And He is perfect in everything that He does. Amen. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. You and I have the same commission. Every man and woman who is born of God is a missionary sent by God into the world to preach the gospel. Now, yes, not all are called and gifted to be public preachers. In fact, Scripture declares that a woman to be silent in the congregation, but all who have seen Christ are His witnesses in our daily walk. Even we who walk not by sight, but by faith. All who know Him are to proclaim Him, as it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and He spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded of you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Look back at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if you would. Just a couple of pages back. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now I realize that some may say, oh, this is not speaking to everybody. This is just speaking to the apostles. Folks, I'm telling you, this letter, this love letter that the Lord gave us, called the Holy Scriptures, is a love letter to every child of God. It's addressed to every child of God in every time, in every peoples, in every nation, in every tongue. And it says here in verse 8, But ye shall receive power of the Holy Ghost that's come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. God has chosen to save sinners by using saved sinners to tell them of the one who saves sinners. Matthew 22, verses 8 and 9, we read this. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And then he said, Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. That's talking to you and I, the servants of God. In Luke 14, 21, we read it this way. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Go out into the world and tell those who is our God. Behold, the Lamb of God. Oops. Sorry, I just got carried away and went into my next message. That's the title for this morning's message. Behold the Lamb of God. I'm going to again repeat myself in that message. But folks, isn't that the easiest thing we can say to those that come across our paths? Behold. Behold. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Go and speak to the people all the words of this life. Look at John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. Read through verse 35 through 45 with me. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looked upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They didn't follow John. They followed Jesus. Whew! That's the way God does it. Tell them about the who the true Jesus is, and the Lord will do the rest of the work. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him in whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You see what it is to go out and to proclaim the truths of who God is, and him doing the work, he will touch the hearts of those that belong to him. Isn't that what happened to you and I? Somebody, in my case it was my brother, said, "John, come on in and sit down for a minute. When church is over, we'll get together and talk afterwards." "Oh, all right. Fine. I only do it usually once a year for Mother's Day because I love my mother. This time I'm hurting. I need to talk to you. I need to cry on your shoulder. I'll come and sit." And then 2/3 of the way through, my sister-in-law puts her elbow right into the side of my ribs. "What? What'd you do that for?" She goes, "You're sitting on the edge of your seat. You haven't sat back the whole time. You're paying attention to what this guy's saying." It was the Lord speaking to our hearts when the truths of who Christ is was spoken to us. Go and speak to the people all the words of this life, the life of Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my King. Lord willing, our next study on this path of the Apostle Peter that he is on will take us to the 8th chapter of this book. And we will see a message of grace proclaimed. I give you this morning that you might read ahead if you so desire. We'll be looking at chapter 8, verses 14 through 25 next week.